everyone. Welcome to another episode of The Lava Pool. I'm your host, Sam Harsma, and this week I'm joined by Chalky.
Hello, welcome back.
And Chalky.
Welcome back, guys.
Yeah, what do you like on tacos?
Oh, I love tacos with some good salsa. We have some mango salsa that we put on here. We have got to have the hot sauce, a little bit of lettuce, a little bit of cheese. Ideally, a nice flavorful tortilla, something with wheat or spinach in it.
All right. Also joining us, we have Gabby.
Hi.
Gabby, what do you put on tacos?
Nothing.
Nothing?
Lettuce and cheese.
Lettuce and cheese. What kind of meat do you go for?
Whatever they give me.
Beef or chicken?
No preference.
No preference?
No preference.
Okay.
If you ever make tacos for JTK, put lots and lots of tomatoes on them.
No. We're just gonna not let Chalky talk for the rest of the episode.
All right. And rounding out the podcast, we have Omari, otherwise known as Bad Intent.
Hey there.
How are you doing, sir?
I'm very good.
Good. And what do you like on tacos?
I generally don't eat tacos too much, but some grilled chicken is nice. And not too many tomatoes, lots of lettuce.
Darn it.
You're my kind of man.
Okay, so let's just jump into VGC because rules got announced this week, last week.
Last week.
Within the last week.
Sure.
Yeah, a few days ago. Biggest news, it's Kalos decks only. If you don't know what that means, you are not alone. It's kind of confusing. Basically, anything in the three main Kalos decks is allowed, which means anything else like Metagross, Thundurus,
Galvantula,
Cresselia are all banned. What do you guys think about the whole Kalos decks? Like, are you excited for no Thundurus, or are you sad for no Cresselia?
Can I start?
Yes.
Yeah. All right, okay. I'm extremely excited because even though I played VGC 13 and really enjoyed it, like 12 and 13, the rules were awesome. I like the change of pace because it gives an opportunity for people that are like really good team builders to like show their stuff at the beginning of the season. One of the problems I think with when the metagame like lasts for a while is like if you're a good team builder, that's nice, but people can just copy successful teams, so it doesn't put you quite as far ahead as you could be, which a lot of the metagames, if you notice, like especially like 2010, the people who came up with the stuff first, like, they kind of controlled the metagame for the entire, like, first part of the season. So I like that a lot, and that's why I like the new rule set. And the Kalos decks, they don't have a lot of the annoying things like the T-Wave, you know, of course, from Thundurus and stuff like that. And I'm really looking forward to the Megas and stuff like that. So it's I'm really excited about it.
And already we're seeing a lot of creativity coming about because there's a lot of things that aren't available like they used to be. Cresselia and Thundurus being gone means that there's a lot of speed control that we have to get creative with. We're also noticing a lot of item differences because as of right now, the gems aren't available with exception to normal gem, which means we have to get creative with items. Like, I'm seeing a lot more Rocky Helmets. I'm seeing a little bit more Focus Sash. I'm seeing even Eject Button every once in a while. And the Assault Vest, oh my goodness, that the Assault Vest was a really interesting choice of new items to bring into the game.
I mean, I think the metagame's still centering around pranksters versus non-pranksters, though. Or maybe pranksters isn't the right word because Talonflame has that ability that gives it priority flying. But, I mean, to be fair, my experience with the metagame is limited to, like, maybe two battles on Showdown and then the Magma tournament, like, 2 weeks ago. But it felt like a lot of people had strategies to counter Will-O-Wisp, use Will-O-Wisp, or Talonflame. And everything else was just kind of like hit hard, hit fast. Just not too much of a difference.
Well, I feel like the increased priority is also partially in response to the lack of speed control.
We'll get to metagame stuff in a little bit. Right now we're just... in addition to... like, some of the Pokemon that got banned, we also lost, like, one of the other new rules is they have to be caught or bred in Gen 6, which means all the old move tutors are gone if they don't have it as Egg Moves also.
For example, well, Helping Hand Politoed.
We don't even know that Egg Moves work yet, though. I mean, people keep saying, oh yeah, you know, we'll be able to get Heat Wave on Chandelure. We'll be able to get, I don't know, what's another example? Something else. You know, basically 5th gen Egg Moves. And I honestly wouldn't be surprised if they change some of that up. I mean, they can.
Yeah, somebody actually mentioned Bug Bite Scissor. I don't remember who it was, but they said that it might be possible to breed it down. Honestly, I don't think that most of the tours will be able to be bred down, but like you said, you never know because we can't see at the moment.
Was Bug Bite an Egg Move, or was that just a tutor?
I have no idea.
I think it was just a tutor.
I just remember talking with Shiloh about Heatwave Chandelure and just being like, you know, I wouldn't count on it until we see it on a cart with that hexagon shape or whatever it's going to be.
Have they gotten rid of Egg Moves in previous generations?
I don't know. I think they've switched things up a lot, I think.
I know tutors come and go, but I'm not sure if Egg Moves ever get dropped.
I haven't looked. I probably should at some point.
I've seen them get added, but I don't remember ever seeing them dropped.
Yeah, me neither.
But of the move tutors, like, a lot of things that had Icy Wind and Helping Hand.
Yeah.
And I guess Heat Wave. No more Heat Wave on Zapdos.
Yeah, I think the worst issues were Zapdos and Snorlax probably took it, like, really bad. Because Snorlax lost all the punches. Ice, Fire, it lost Superpower. Zapdos has, like, no attacks now. It has Thunderbolt, and that's about it. There's no Heat Wave, there's no... Even Hidden Power Ice is weakened. It's really in a bad position. You can't even use Tailwind. So there's a lot of things that I prefer to use that I just can't use them to their full potential because they just don't have those moves. And then, of course, you know, bringing up Scissor, it's not the same kind of threat, especially against, like, Rotom, because you can't Bug Bite the Citrus Berries. You're just stuck with X Scissor.
Right. Although Scissor did get a Mega, so...
That's true.
Kind of balances out. Not... Well, I wouldn't say balances, but... It's something. Yeah.
At the very least, it discourages Swords Dance.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I've seen people doing Swords Dance on Mega Scissor, which is fine, because they die before they actually get to attack with it. And that's what that move is good for. Wasting a turn and dying. But yeah, a lot of my favorite scissor moves like Tailwind and Safeguard are now gone, which...
Oh yeah, Safeguard is so useful on a lot of things that you can do, but yeah, there's a lot of those little things that you're gonna miss, like even like Tyranitar. I remember, I think it was TDS brought it up, that you can't low kick other people's Tyranitars anymore. You just have to use something else.
Brick Break.
Arguably, you wouldn't want to bring in T-Tar anyways, given how...
Does it still have superpower or no?
I don't think so, because I'm pretty sure that was an tutor move only.
Isn't that a TM, though?
No, not superpower.
Okay, never mind then.
Okay. There are also some moves that came back instead of getting banned now. Dark Void is now legal for the first time since 2010.
Did someone confirm that?
Yeah, Alpha Zealot was talking about it on Nugget Bridge, and they said they're going to monitor it throughout the season to see if it becomes over-centralizing, but it is legal.
Okay. So that means the only thing that can get it, though, is Smeargle.
Yes, correct. And there are already people talking about running a new version of Dive Cats with Void Cats.
Oh my god, why would you do that?
Because then you have Prankster, like Liepard already outspeeds Meowstic and Klefki, the priority Safeguard users, can use Priority Assist and then Dark Void everything.
And one of the more interesting things I was looking into was having an unnerved Tyranitar or unnerved Aerodactyl and being able to Dark Void, because most people, they just have to deal with Smeargle. They just throw a Lumbar or Chesto on someone, but yeah, you can't use their berries. They're just kind of stuck at that point. And then if you have, like, both of those Pokemon, they can Mega Evolve. So after, you know, you've gotten them sleep, just Mega, try to get as much damage as you can. I think it's dangerous, but I don't think Smeargle is going to be as good as it seems like it could be. I think people figured out a lot of ways to deal with it before. I don't think, like, a lot of the ways aren't, like, in the game anymore. But I think there's, like, stuff like... For instance, Scissor would beat Aerodactyl and Tyranitar. I think people can just beat the stuff that partners up with Smeargle the most, and I think it won't be too much of an issue.
Can Quick Guard block status moves now?
Yes, if they're prankstered. So
you could theoretically Quick Guard Leopard using Assist.
Right. Awesome. There's, in that thread, I think it was R Inanimate trying to come up with his team. He's thinking about feint partners to just break through Quick Guards and then get the Dark Void off.
Yeah.
So that really leaves you only with Magic Bounce as your only counter. which...
Or Insomnia.
Yeah, or Insomnia.
I think one of the interesting things, though, is just like, I think Ray was bringing it up. It's like, it's so hard to actually capitalize after you've Dark Voided someone because they only have the max of 3 turns of sleep now, and it doesn't reset when they switch out. And Smeargle by itself is not really going to do anything. If you make it fast enough to Dark Void both of the partners, it has no bulk. And if you have it scarfed, then you have to switch out as soon as you're done Dark Voiding. So you're wasting one turn switching Smeargle out after you've Dark Voided, and you might end up in a neutral situation where they first turn wake up, or you'll just get a very slight advantage if they sleep for 2 or 3 turns. So I don't think it'll be as good for the player, especially considering the fact that it only has like a 64% chance of actually hitting both of the Pokemon when you use it. So yeah, I think it'll be pretty iffy.
I'm definitely going to agree with BI for a sec, because I mean, when Dark Void came out, it was a lot more broken than it was. And then, 2008 and 2009, it was a pretty big threat. 2010, they introduced Ubers to neutralize it a little bit. And then, while Dark Void was banned, they actually lowered the accuracy, as BI mentioned. And now, there's so many different hazards to Smeargle that didn't exist the last time Dark Void was legal. So many different weathers that are more common that can break Sash. There's so many different priority users that exist now, and most of all, we've had multiple years to reflect on Dark Void and know that this stuff's coming. And like BI said, there's so many ways to get around it now that I see it being something we need to prepare for, but and speaking as someone who ran Dark Void for the better part of 2009, I don't realistically see it making a dominating comeback. I guess in terms of being like, unnecessarily overpowered. I think we can overcome it for the most part.
2 points. One, that's what everybody said about Swagger, if memory serves correct. We all know how that ended up.
Swagger's luck-based. That's not...
Dark Void is luck-based too, in a sense. I mean, you're rolling for accuracy, you're rolling for sleep turns. It's a different kind of luck, but it's still... If you're running Dark Void, you're not running it to, like... neutralize a threat most of the time. You're running it to see how lucky you are and in the meantime just sweep up. And second point is I don't think I'd be worried about Smeargle. I think I'd be worried more about Leopard because there's so many other things it can do. You add Dark Void to that toolkit and suddenly it being frail isn't as big of an issue anymore.
Right.
I mean, you'd have to... I think Smeargle is more the Achilles heel of the team. If you play it right, Smeargle's the problem. And once you defeat Smeargle, it all just falls apart.
Yeah, I think that's true.
So, but we'll see. Someone's probably going to do well. My prediction for Winter Regional, someone's going to win using Dark Void.
Is it going to be in Fuego?
Sure. I actually have no idea who it's going to be. But I'm just going to agree.
Dark Void cats.
And then in spring, we're all going to be panicking about it. And then it's just never going to go away. It's just going to... My prediction is it's going to be the new Breloom. Because old Breloom is gone.
Oh, yeah. Breloom's banned. Is Amoongus still in? Yeah,
Amoongus is still in.
Yeah, so. You got that.
Mm-hmm. Trick Room, though. You can't give Amoongus Trick Room.
Well, the other thing that also nerfs Dark Void considerably compared to before is that we now have the fact that grass types can't be put to sleep.
They can't be Spore. They're not hit by powder moves. So they're not affected by Rage Powder or Spore.
Wait, they're not affected by Rage Powder?
No. Any powder moves. Sleep Powder, Stun Spore.
That's not a powder. I'm just kidding.
So grass moves, not affected, or grass types not affected by powders, but they can be put to sleep. Just like electric types are not affected by thunder or wave anymore, but you can still paralyze them with
like body slam
glare.
That I like.
Glare everything.
Mm-hmm. One other move came back after being banned, and that is Sky Drop, which is no longer glitched with gravity. And it would be such an amazing move if there wasn't this little caveat where you can't lift a Pokemon heavier than the Pokemon that knows Sky Drop.
Oh, wow.
Which shuts down pretty much every user from using it against anything they would actually want to hit with Sky Drop.
Just to clarify, though, you can hit same-weight Pokemon,
yes,
right?
Yes, same-weight Pokemon work, but in order to use that move effectively, you have to have a heavy Pokemon, which there aren't that many, like, total that learn Sky Drop, and most of them are kinda not heavy at all. And two, you have to learn all the other Pokemon's weights to know what you're actually doing.
See, also Charizard.
Yeah. Charizard, you'd think that'd be pretty heavy. Charizard Y, actually slightly heavier than regular Charizard. Charizard X, even heavier than that. But they're still, like, mid-tier as far as Pokemon weights and Kalos go.
Why don't we just force teach it to a Snorlax? Like, give him an industrial-sized jetpack or something.
Oh, why doesn't Golurk have Sky Drop? It gets fly.
I know.
You'd think if anyone got it.
Maybe that'll be an event Pokemon when they feel like just shaking up the metagame a bit.
Going off just on a slight tangent, I do want to mention that Heavy Slam is actually another, like, weight kind of affected move that's going to be really good, I think, because since like all the fairies in the game are really light, hits them all for like 120. So Snorlax, for instance, just like kills Gardevoir or Mega Gardevoir with just Heavy Slam. So I think that's like, just to throw it out there, it's pretty cool.
I think that might be Mega Aggron's niche right now as the heaviest Pokemon.
And oh yeah.
Also has Heavy Slam with Stab.
Wait, is it heavier than Snorlax?
Aggron, I believe it is.
Oh,
okay. I can check a second.
No, Snorlax is like 1,024, I think.
Yeah, something obnoxiously huge.
Man, somebody needs to lay off the apples.
But on the other hand, Mega Aggron can't have. Wait, does it still have Sturdy? Or does
Let's
it?
See, Mega is better than Sturdy. Actually, Snorlax is 1,014 pounds.
Okay.
To answer your question about Sturdy, I forget what ability its Mega Form has, but I can confirm it is not Sturdy.
Yeah, it's Pilsner, and it's like the same thing as...
And wow, Mega Aggron is only 870 pounds, so it is not heavier than Snorlax.
Nope.
So Aggron could not Sky Drop Snorlax, hypothetically.
No.
But no, Snorlax could Sky Drop Mega Aggron. If someone at Game Freak is listening, you should consider making Sky Drop Snorlax a thing. Maybe, like, one of the Pokemon Sunday promos? Wasn't there, like, something really random last year? That Octillery or whatever?
It was Octazooka Sableye.
That's what it was.
Which is completely useless, but also hilarious.
Oh, yeah, I'd definitely be down for a Sky Drop Snorlax.
It'd be so good.
Because Sky Drop, like, in theory, has such good utility if it actually could lift anything. It basically takes out a Pokemon from the other side for a turn, in addition to dealing damage and protecting yourself. Which is great, if you could lift it.
Sam played a couple of practice matches with me, and I didn't realize how good Sky Drop was, and I had no idea he was running Sky Drop, and I tried to set up Trick Room, he Sky Dropped my Trick Room, or wasting two turns that I could have used for Trick Room, and then he just, like, killed it the turn that it fell down.
Yeah, I ran a partner that was slower than the Sky Drop user, so then the next turn I could just double hit it, and that was it for Trick Room.
And then no more Trick Room.
So much promise. Okay. The other big rule that got announced, they're changing time limits. Now matches are 15 minutes and turns are 45 seconds. You still have 90 seconds to select your team.
Alright, I have a whole lot to say about this if you'll mind.
Okay.
Okay, so I am a huge, huge, huge fan of the 45-second time limit because there's a lot of people that sometimes intentionally, sometimes not, they will just drag the game on. And there's a lot of games where you know that if they had to pick their moves in a timely manner, you know, I could finish them. Like, for example, I think one of the best examples is like fighting against a lot of players with Gastrodon, and they have recover. And sometimes if they have leftovers, just that, and when there's like sandstorm damage going, when you get to take 60 seconds, it like adds up to a point where even though I should win the game, like I don't, because it's just taking so long. Now, that's the good side to it. The bad thing, I think, is because I think for almost every turn in the game, you can make your move within 45 seconds. Some people were complaining about it. I can kind of understand, but there are a couple of things in specific. Like, when you're stalling out Trick Room, generally you have like an idea of how you want to stall it out. The first turn you protect, second turn you attack and switch, third you protect. Now that fourth turn is usually the most difficult turn in the entire game when you're fighting your Trick Room team, because you can't really like weasel your way out of the situation without like somebody dying. You know that one of your Pokemon is going to have to like be sacrificed. You need to kind of guess what your opponent's going to do. So 45 seconds in that instance is really difficult. And I want to bring up this in, I played in Pleasanton, and in game two, I actually lost in part because, I was a little bit nervous about time. I was playing, it was just a standard Trick Room team, but, I didn't have enough time to really like map out what I wanted to do for the next couple of turns. So I switched in the wrong Pokemon. I know if, I would have just sat down and just, you know, breathed, I would have been able to make the right decision, but 45 seconds, I know a lot more people would be switching in the wrong things, or they would be getting, like, they'd be giving up the wrong Pokemon at the end of Trick Room. Because you need the last two Pokemon, or the last three, however many Pokemon you have, at the end of Trick Room, you need to be able to sweep your opponent's team really quickly before they can set it back up. And you might not be able to calculate, you know, what you need to keep and how much life it'll have in just that little 45 seconds. So I think that's gonna hurt those turns. And you're going to see some sloppy play, I think, especially in like nationals when people get nervous. They're like, why did they do that? Because there's just not enough time to really, you know, think out all your decisions.
Yeah, well, my biggest problem in like any tournament is I just kind of rush and pick whatever the first thing pops into my head and then immediately regret it as soon as I locked in my moves. The last regional was the first time I ever took notes. And that ended in most of my moves going a lot closer to the timer than I ever would have before, and I don't think I'm going to have time to take notes and still make moves anymore.
I mean, you can come up with a system. I mean, so...
I don't know if you saw what my notes were.
No.
But basically, I only wrote what the other opponent did, and...
Yeah.
Like, I didn't write down what my Pokemon did at all, and so afterwards, looking at my notes, I had no idea what happened in that battle.
I mean, arguably, the only... I think the most important things to note are what Pokemon attack what and how. I mean, not on your side, obviously. Hopefully you can remember what you're doing, but... I think that... I'm a fan of the timer change. I want to disagree with you, BI, a little bit on the whole timer stall case. I think that that's a strategy that everybody should be prepared for, and I think that there will still be some people playing that to a certain extent, even with the 45 second turns now. Mm-hmm. That being said, I mean, thinking on your feet, I think, is an important aspect of this game. If you're getting to the point where you're considering every like possible scenario, I don't know, it seems like too much thinking.
Although it does seem like Game Freak kind of wants to mitigate the timer stalling a little bit. Like, there's only so much they can actually enforce, like, don't timer stall when the timer's, like, programmed to the game. But they definitely have been making things faster beyond the time limit. Like, animations are going faster. Like, there was a big thing last year, especially with what B.I. mentioned before about the Gastrodon with sandstorm damage and leftovers. Like, there are so many unnecessary animations you can make to run the timer, even if you're not taking the last second to pick the move. And they've mitigated those a lot more. Like, the whole battle feels like it's going a lot faster than in previous generations, which is worth noting if you're trying to timer stall. Either way, whether you feel about it or not.
Yeah, I mean, I think every player, to a certain extent, will timer stall, depending on the situation. Maybe they're just stopping timer stalling teams, but I still think you'll see a lot of people doing it. Or people just won't pick their moves to the last second, because that extra 15 seconds really is going to matter.
But taking notes takes a lot of time. It does really help, though, because especially like when you're in best 2 out of 3, you can like write down items and move selections and like how they generally process their thinking logic, and that's usually nice, but that's kind of off topic.
Actually, while we're on 2 out of 3, there's been speculation about maybe this time limit means that they could possibly do 2 out of 3 at regionals, like during the Swiss,
that would
because
be great.
They cut down match time to have longer sets.
So I think that would be a step in the right direction. I think if they did that, they'd have to expand VGC to be 2 days alongside TCG. Yeah,
because taking 5 minutes out, but then adding 2 more matches, you're adding half an hour or two.
Yeah, that would actually put us, I think, right in the same kind of time bracket as it takes for the TCG matches. Mm-hmm. Almost. I mean, there'd be like a give or take or so.
I would love to see them try it for one season of regionals just to see how it turns out.
I would really enjoy it if they expanded VGC into 2 days, because I think that would give VGC players more time to do like side events and stuff and actually win things instead of just kind of showing up and then leaving.
Though it is worth noting that the major, major downside of that is that people have to plan for double the amount of time off from work or double the amount of time off for travel accommodations and double the amount of hotel time, which for people who are like just scraping by and trying to show up for that one day and then leave, it will considerably create the same problem that CP did, which is that the people with more time and money will naturally go to more tournaments and have more opportunities than the people who don't.
I mean, it's still like that now. I mean, I'm just playing devil's advocate.
But now we have the best of 3 limit.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's,
your best
that's
finishes.
Fair. That's fair.
One thing I do want to say about the... Actually, no, you go ahead and keep going. I'm going to keep on formulating this thought a little bit. You keep going.
Okay. What I was going to say is, if you're really kind of cutting it close, you could just make your plans for Saturday only. And then if you happen to make top 16 or whatever, just adjust. Because if you make top 16, I mean, that guarantees you what? Like, I forget how much CP that is.
16, what is that, 50? I think it's 50.
50? So if you, let's say you top 16 at your 3 events, that will give you enough for a Nats buy, right?
Not necessarily. It's because, okay. it's pretty close though, it's pretty close.
I'm just going to assume that it will. I don't know, I feel like that would be a worthy investment. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think, 2 out of 3, I know one of the things I think it will make, it's good, I think, overall. It makes teams that are more consistent win more. I do kind of like the fact that, like, I know I played in Pleasanton, there was a lady that was using, it was Superpower Thunderous. And it got a lot of people off guard, and I think she was like 6-1 through Swiss. And that won't happen when you play somebody at 2 out of 3, because, I mean, it could happen, but it's like, after you get hit by it the first time, it's like, oh, okay, I see you have that. And now that I know you have a physical Thunderous that has superpower, you probably can't hit most of the stuff that you should be able to hit. So, like, things like that are gonna be, not as effective. And I kind of like to see them being used. I kind of like to see them, like, catching people off guard in Swiss, because there's 2 out of 3 in the top 8 anyway. So I'm kind of, like, neutral on it. I wouldn't mind one way or the other, because it makes it so more consistent teams will win more. But at the same time, I do think it's cool to catch somebody off guard and them not really be able to do anything about it just in that Swiss round. And even if you lose one game, you know, you're not done in Swiss. But I know if you try to catch somebody off guard in 2 out of 3, that, like, never works. I tried in Worlds, and nope. Bad decision.
On the other hand, that means missing stuff like Draco or Air Slash or getting frozen for 3 turns. doesn't completely screw you out of your match.
Yeah,
that's true. I'm okay with that. After seeing some of the worst hacks I've seen at regionals this fall, I'm perfectly okay with trying to minimize the hack's influence on this metagame.
Yeah.
Let's move on.
Okay, so those are the rules. They've been out for a couple days. The metagame has already begun to shift from whatever everybody was running on GBU or Battle Spot.
Mewtwo! Yes. Mewtwo everywhere!
So now popular things like Togekiss are gone, and Breloom. What I've seen of the metagame so far, it's pretty much revolved around Mega Kangaskhan, Mega Mawile, and then Talonflame, Pranksters, and Rotom.
So, for those of us who haven't played, can you tell us a little bit about what each of these things does?
Kangaskhan is cool because it starts off with Scrappy so it can fake out ghosts. Other than that, the Mega, you get two attacks. The second attack does, like, half of what the first one did. So it's basically like a free choice band, but you can switch your moves and go through sashes and subs, which is very nice for both for stab fake out on Kangaskhan and then sucker punching like Mega Gengar that'll put up a sub every time. Other than that, like that's basically all Kangaskhan does. It sometimes has return, sometimes has some like power up punch to get two boosts in one turn. I haven't seen as much of that as I initially did, but it's not bad. Other than that, it's just faster than most normal sweepers. Or at least it was until they added all these things like Talonflame and Mega Manectric, Greninja, and Noivern.
So what do you think makes Mega Mawile and Talonflame so, not necessarily good, but so commonly used?
Mawile, it's that ridiculous attack. First off, it has Intimidate before it Mega Evolves, so a lot of people just won't Mega Evolve until they have to, so they can keep switching it out. It has amazing resistances, being a Steel Fairy type.
It's the new Metagross in terms of resistances, right?
Only weak to Fire and Ground, much like the old Metagross before the steel change.
Right.
And it remains having like considerably more resistances than neutral damage.
It's not as bulky as Metagross, but it does have way more attack, and it has stab... what's that fairy move? Play Rough?
Play Rough.
Play Rough. It also gets Sucker Punch, so it's got priority. Iron Head is good for other fairies and flinching things.
Alright, so I've actually... come up with a bunch of like ideas about how the metagame is right now, so I guess I'll go ahead and tell you, because based on the things that you listed, I think honestly I am a little bit, actually I'm a lot, I should say I'm very disappointed in how the metagame has started, because from I started in 2009 technically, but I didn't get to play, but 2010, 11, 12, 13, I think this is the worst start. I mean, especially because some people have so much experience, I'm disappointed in, like, what's being used. I think none of this stuff, I think Rotom is going to stay, but I think almost all the rest of this stuff is, like, not going to stay. Now, for, I think that it's developing the wrong way. I think it should be more centered around Mega Charizard. It's similar to how Hydreigon was with Dragon Gym Draco Meteor. There's nothing else that can do that, that can just, if you don't resist this attack, overheat, you just die. And it can just keep doing that. Plus, it's even better than Hydreigon in a sense, because when you, after you're finished overheating, you're only minus one because the sun is still up. So it's not quite as bad. You're not forced to switch out. It also has really good resistances, like against Fairy. It completely just stops Mega Mawile. I think like a lot of the Pranksters, like they'll just die to like Charizard. Garchomp does really good versus like Talonflame. It also does good if you switch it in, like if you can get it with any partner that can attack Mawile on the same turn. So it's, I think Gardevoir, Charizard, and Garchomp, those Pokemon are what the metagame should be revolving around, but it's like going in like this really weird direction.
It's interesting you say that, because like 2 weeks ago Charizard was everywhere.
Mm. It should still be.
It just kind of went away, and I think most of that is because of the faster Pokemon out right now. Like, its speed ties with Kangaskhan, so it gets hit by Fake Out. It's not as bulky as it could be, so there are a lot of things that can one-shot it. Garchomps are around. They're not on every team, but there's plenty of Garchomps. And most of them do have Rock Slide or Stone Edge to deal with both Charizard and Talonflame. And Talonflame is just the popular choice right now for Fire Flying type because of the incredible speed that it has at base 126. And then it has Gale Wing, so it has like priority Brave Bird.
I think of all of the things that are popular, that one kind of irritates me the most just because people...
It's the most annoying thing.
I mean, like, it's... I don't even think it's actually... Like, on a team, when you fight against it, it usually doesn't do that much work. It gets off hits really fast, but it doesn't usually kill anything. I think it's just kind of like... I'm trying to think of a good example of a Pokemon that, like, in previous metagames, it'll get off its hit really fast, really early, but then after that, it's just kind of sitting there. And then they're, like, trying to, like, make it not the weak link, but it's just, like, there. So, I don't know, like...
Hitmontop.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's got a decent move pool, though. Like, it does have priority Tailwind, which is good. And then just being able to do priority Brave Bird. That's 120 base power stab priority move. It's not something you can just ignore.
Yeah, it does.
And it's one of the only physical attackers that can't be burned. And Will-O-Wisp is everywhere.
Yay!
Speaking of Will-O-Wisp, how long do you guys think Rotom will stay like really high in usage?
Forever.
Okay, I guess we all agree. Forever. It's just so good.
Unless something comes around that just completely shuts it down, which it won't, because I'm fairly certain there's nothing in Kalos decks.
Go, go.
No. I think...
Go.
No, if Charizard...
You can switch Rotoms, too.
If Charizard teams remain, like, on the top, and if people really use them properly, and they can figure out how to use Exeggutor, that'll just completely... It can switch into Rotom whenever, and it can just Leaf Storm it. So I think Sun teams, you know, they can beat it. Also, since Charizard gets Solar Beam, one of the easy ways to deal with Rotom is if you have anything, like, even if you have, like, a Garchomp, and you can do, like, chip damage to it, like, with Rock Slide early to get it down, like, 25%, just down so it doesn't activate Citrus, and then Solar Beam it, and then it'll die without activating the Citrus.
I know Venusaur has been really nice for Rotoms, too.
Oh my god, Venusaur is so good.
Because if you do Mega Evolve, you get Thick Fat, so it's just this tank. And if you don't, you still have, like, Chlorophyll to run on Sun teams.
Mm-hmm. And against other tanks, it can't be powdered, it can't be toxic, it can't be leech seeded.
Yeah, you can't really, like, you can't chip it out. You have to have something really, really strong to kill it.
Yeah, so let's get back to Rotom. It lost a handful of moves like Electroweb, but it still has, like, one of the best support move pools and typings in the game with the Water Electric, Thunder Wave, Will-O-Wisp.
Yeah.
Light Screen, Reflect.
Thunderbolt, Volt Switch.
Hydro Pump.
Pretty much every TM.
And then you can even, like, Rotom H is not as good as it was, but Rotom C is slightly better right now.
Why is it slightly better?
I forget.
I'll just take your word for it.
Oh, because it's grass type and not affected by powders.
Right.
And not put to sleep.
Oh, I didn't even think about that, because a lot of teams, they'll have just throw a Amoongus on there.
Yeah, to try and Rage Powder to take the T-Waves or the Will-O-Wisps or whatever you're throwing out.
And the grass one is just one hits the water, so they can't Rage Powder your Leaf Storm. Yeah, that's really interesting. You guys have any other thoughts about how the metagame's going to evolve? Because since, I mean, they released the rules pretty late as usual, so there's not a whole lot of time for the metagame to evolve, but do you guys think there will be any, like, trends that we are not seeing right now?
I'm seeing Parish Trap come and go, like, over the cycle of every couple days, like, it comes back and then goes away again. Because both Gothitelle and now Mega Gengar are legal in Kalos decks. And so a lot of teams are based around Mega Gengar, Politoed, and then just subbing up with Gengar and trying to stall that way. Mm. One of my favorite things this gen, though, is that skill swap goes through subs. So you can actually skill swap Shadow Tag away from Gengar and have them trap themselves, which is hilarious every single time.
We've definitely, I mean, the thing that I've noticed is that the metagame, as you put it, is slightly disappointing compared to previous years, but it's also changing a lot more rapidly in the beginning than a lot of things I've noticed in the past, at least the last, like, year or two. Like Greninja used to be everywhere.
What?
Dude, it was all over Shonen for a little while.
I was thinking past years.
No, I'm like,
Greninja, yeah, I'm pretty sure that was
Greninja was so popular, OP in 2013. I don't know what you guys were doing.
That was Sazpatoon.
Pretty sure it was actually the dude.
Oh my gosh, you need to stop this.
Why? Don't deny it, Chalky. Bidoof is going to be the top tier strategy for 2014.
Oh my god, I will quit playing Pokemon if someone wins a regional with Bidoof.
No, you won't, because I will.
You were saying it was changing.
What were you going to say, B.I.?
Oh no, I was saying you were saying it was changing quickly. Do you think it'll change fast enough by the time regionals comes around for this stuff to, like, not be relevant, the things that are common right now?
I mean, that's definitely been something that happens almost every year where there's, like, a new pool. I mean, I'm kind of discounting 2013 in this, but with 2010 and 2000, and to a certain extent 2009, there was definitely a trend where, like, really good players were making prominent strategies in the early regionals, and people were either copying that or trying to counter that, and then there were definitely things in the metagame that were more established by the end of the year. I would not be surprised if Talonflame was weeded out by Worlds of 2014. I mean, there might be some, like, once, like, I could picture, like, a resurge when people have, like, forgotten it for a little while, but there's so many things, but, like, Talonflame is on so many teams right now. Mega Kangaskhan's on so many teams right now. I can picture people directly trying to come up with things to counter it. And there already are, like, amazing counters. Like, for example, Ferrothorn just wrecks Kangaskhan because if you play it right, you can get, like, 53% on it without even attacking before you die. And then there's just so many things. And then, like, not to mention, like, Rough Skin Garchomp with Rocky Helmet and...
people aren't running Bright Powder anymore?
There will always be one, that guy.
Yeah, that guy.
That just runs Bright Powder Garchomp with Tyranitar.
I've actually seen people running Flash Meowstic. Because...
And that's when I support 2 out of 3 in Swiss.
Yeah, right?
So you can get flashed twice.
yeah. All right. So the one more thing was the Parish Trap. I know people were talking about like different ways to set it up, especially with like Smeargle and Gengar. I think in theory it's nice, but I think there's too many issues after you do the initial like first 2 or 3 turns. You don't really put yourself in that great of a situation because, like, let's say you actually do kill both of the Pokemon with Parish Song, even though that's really hard to do with a not bulky Gengar, not bulky Smeargle either. They're probably at such low life near the end of the game that they're not going to be doing anything, especially if they have, like, the opponent has Scissor in the back or something. They'll just pick the rest of your team apart. So I think that's one of the strategies a lot of people are talking about that I don't think is going to do very well. But I think there's ways to make it work against people that don't know what they're doing. And I think, like, I don't want to, like, say certain regions, but I think there will be a region where that just, like, dominates everybody. And they're like, oh, wait, what are we supposed to do? I can't switch out. And, like, it just gets, like, either, like, top four or maybe even wins just because people, for some reason, didn't prepare for it. Just like Leopard and Balloon, which is, like, I don't know how that happened, how that won, but I mean if that can win, then you know, Paris track.
Yeah. Okay. I don't have anything else.
That's fine.
For metagame stuff at the moment. Anyone else?
Let me see if I've come up with anything. No, that's pretty much about it. I had a lot of ideas, but that was about all of them so far.
Okay. Well, as always, we have weekly tournaments every Sunday.
They're new time. Yeah, they're no longer Saturdays.
Don't show up on Saturday. We will not give you a tournament to play in. We will kick you.
I'll be there and apologize for telling you to come Saturday. And
don't apologize.
Maybe better. Well, I always say Saturday. Yeah, there's Sundays.
You're going to be fierce.
So early in the morning that it hurts. But yeah, if you want to get in on the metagame, that's a great way to practice. Otherwise, I think Showdown now has a tier, but Showdown is still broken beyond belief.
So many glitches.
Like, Skydrop is one of those things where it doesn't take into effect weight, so you can Skydrop Snorlax and Aggron. And also, fun fact, after you lift a Pokemon, you can choose to deal damage to the other Pokemon the next turn, and they will be stuck in the air for at least one more turn.
So if you really feel like breaking someone's day.
Yeah.
I think this is an issue that I want to bring up to, I don't know who runs it. I didn't know who to bring it to because, I mean, I didn't take Showdown that seriously, but.
You shouldn't.
I think Intimidate is still broken. I don't think, okay, the way it works right now, the way it works right now is, at least the last time I played, if your opponent, trying to think exactly how it is. Basically, Intimidate is supposed to wait if one of the Pokemon die until all the Pokemon are on the field for Intimidate.
Before it activates.
The way it works now is like if you KO both of your opponent's Pokemon, they can switch in one, then you switch in, you Intimidate that, but the other one comes in, you don't Intimidate the other Pokemon, and it's like, that doesn't make sense, and it causes, it was more of an issue, I think, before, because Landorus T, like, it really needed the Intimidates on a lot of stuff, like, especially, like, for, like, Ice Sharders. So now it's not quite the same, but it's still, like, an issue, and it's, like, stuff like that is just really annoying to deal with on Showdown.
And yeah, Ally Switch is still priority splash. Like, that's, ugh.
I mean, to answer your question about who runs it, it's actually open source on GitHub. So if there's any aspiring JavaScript developers out there, please, well, first of all, look at your life, look at your choices. Do not consider going into JavaScript development because you're just going to hate yourself. But if you want to and you want to fix these things for us, we would love you forever, probably.
Forever.
Or we could just stick to playing the actual game and not trying to simulate it on a computer because it's not the GBA days anymore, and there is decent online this gen.
There is, but if you want to test out a team super fast without breeding forever, and then EV training, and then finding out it doesn't work.
Oh, EV training is so much easier now. It takes 10 battles with Kokoros and Blaziken.
10 battles as opposed to just punching in the numbers. That's
What's your favorite EV to train?
Sylveon.
Flareon has Flare Blitz now.
Finally, after
it's all just
bajillions of years of sucking.
Yeah, I know, right? Yeah,
Does it help at all?
Nope. No. It's too late. Wow.
Well, it's another one of those physical attackers that can't be burned, so it has a new niche.
If somebody wins a regional with a Flareon, I will probably send them a batch of cookies or something, because I don't really see that happening.
It's so hard to do. It's so overdue for Flareon, but
you never know. Just make a note of that right now.
Are you going to try to win a regional with Flareon so you can get those cookies, Fidget?
We already gave you cookies last week.
I know, seriously.
I also gave cookies last week, and there are more cookies in the fridge.
Oh,
and speaking of that, Thursday night, we are doing another episode of Unprofessional Pokemon this Thanksgiving. Zach's going to be back again.
There might be a turkey.
There might be a turkey. There will definitely be cookies. There also might be an N64. We will have battles.
Oh,
X and Y battles.
Will we?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Even if we don't have like actual teams, which I know some of us have actual teams.
I have enough that I could.
We can.
I have absolutely nothing.
Okay. Well, we can just do an in-game team tournament because.
Yes.
He's not allowed. He's going to bring Darmanitan, and it's just going to end in tears.
Darmanitan's not physically possible to get right now.
Good. I'm still bitter about that.
Okay, but for those of you that aren't aware yet, we do do this live show. Well, we've done one episode so far.
So for most of you.
Yeah. Basically, it's on Twitch, twitch.tv/TeamMagma.
Yeah.
Twitch.tv.
You can also find it on teammagma.net because we post the episodes there the next day.
Yes. And also on Facebook, where we post them as they start. I think we did that last week.
Yes.
We're going to
do
that this week. Well, let's just put it that way.
Yeah. Twitter. Should we start using Twitter again?
Sure. Do you want to be a tweeter?
Twitter is the thing. You got to. Like, there's... It's you have to.
I know. It's... It looks so weird. I can never just get into Twitter.
Basically, what we're trying to say is there's like 50 different ways to watch this show, and you have no excuse by not watching it.
If you really, really want to see it, and you can't get access to it, we can try to send it carrier pigeons over IP, but it would take a little bit too long.
Yeah, also, if you do miss it, whether you were arguing with your family and just didn't want to watch anything, or you ate too much and fell asleep.
Or if you were watching the Charlie Brown's Christmas. Or Christmas, wow, Thanksgiving.
We do put it up on YouTube afterwards, so you can watch it there. Team Magma VGC is the account?
Yes.
Again, just go to teammagma.net. You will find a link there, or the Facebook.
Yes.
Or the...
And what's the time?
7:30, did we say?
Yeah, we try for 7:30. If it's late, it won't be more than half an hour late. That's Pacific time, so 10:30.
Yeah, 10:30 on the East Coast.
Yeah, so it's a late show, but we like it.
Late night magma.
Late night magma.
If there are things you want to see on the show, let us know. Again, Twitter, Facebook, teammagma.net, anywhere. Just yell at us. Say, hey, I want you to play... Pokemon Project Studio.
We actually prefer if you yell at us.
Yeah. The meaner the better. Because then we can block you and then play it and make fun of you while we do it. Other things to plug, Holiday Tourney. We are going to do that again this year.
December.
I don't think we've decided on rules yet.
Yeah, we haven't decided on rules. In the past, it's always been stage one of a 3-stage Pokemon, and you pick your holiday. We're going to have tighter rules on holidays this year, because last year, the apocalypse made it to the finals.
Oh, nice.
Which is not a holiday, and just an excuse that Blitz used to have the most powerful Pokemon on his team. Although, fittingly enough, the apocalypse lost to Earth Day.
And I will mention, the previous year, Black Friday got to the finals, which is not a holiday either.
That is so a holiday.
It is not a holiday.
I've been busting my butt all week to make sure that holiday goes well. It's a holiday.
I would count that as a holiday over the apocalypse.
Me too.
Yeah. Black Friday is still a holiday.
But yeah, we'll have more information on that later. And we will have another podcast up in the relatively near future. Let us know who we should have on the show next time. Until then, I'm Sam Harsma.
I'm Chalky.
I'm Gabby.
I'm Bad Intent.
And we'll see you next time on The Lava Pool.